Well, while the federal government might be publicly welcoming the deal, a climate policy analyst at Melbourne University says it has embarrassed the Abbott government. Associate Professor at the Department of Resource Management and Geography, Peter Christoff, says the US-China climate deal is a game changer in the lead-up to the global climate conference in Paris. He spoke to me about the deal a short time ago. Professor Christoff, in what way is this deal a game changer?
Unlike 2009 in the run-up to the Copenhagen negotiations and at the meeting there, where everything came unstuck because China and the United States hadn't negotiated and collaborated before that meeting, this time we have close collaboration between the two, the world's biggest emitters and the world's biggest economies. They've come out with targets which are relatively ambitious and which really set the framework for negotiations which will take place in Paris next year.
Why do you think the US and Chinese leaders have come to this deal now?
Look, I think for a couple of reasons, Eleanor. Firstly, China is, I think, driven by a number of different imperatives. Very importantly, the levels of domestic air pollution within China are so great that the Chinese government has had to do something about them, and one of the clearest and biggest contributions to domestic air pollution has been the use of coal-fired power. So there's a very important domestic pressure for them to deal with that particular problem. There's also strong recognition within China that climate change is going to be a devastating problem for the country in terms of food production, water availability, population growth and so on. So the Chinese have been responsibly trying to deal with this issue at the same time as manage the expectations for economic growth. The United States is trying to, I think, ensure that it's going to remain globally economically competitive. So there's, again, pressure on Obama to try and modernise the American economy, and he's been pushing his agenda against all odds, given that he has no support within the Congress in the US, to try and push the US towards emissions reduction and decarbonisation there as well. So there's a mutual benefit there. There's certainly benefit for both of them in terms of showing leadership. They're trying to, I suppose, joust with each other to show which is going to be a better leader in the climate space in terms of negotiations next year.
So how will this deal change the dynamic at the Paris negotiations? Is a significant global agreement now possible?
I think that an agreement certainly is possible now. I don't think we're likely to see the sort of catastrophic failure that occurred in Copenhagen in 2009. How strong the agreement is going to be, I think, is harder to tell. I think it's probably fair to say that both the US and China have made significant offerings, but in terms of what we really need on the table to reduce emissions and to deal with climate change, these are probably not strong enough at this point in time. That places a great deal of pressure on the other major emitting countries to do as well as they can and perhaps do better than they're probably intending to do.
What pressure does it put on Australia in terms of our international commitments? In 2009, the then Prime Minister Kevin Rudd committed Australia to unconditionally cut emissions by 5% by 2020 and by 15 or 25 if the major emitters reached agreement. So does this deal between the US and China satisfy this latter condition?
To be honest, I think that has been satisfied for some time, and Australia should have been aiming for 15% and even more than that for a number of years now. But this certainly convincingly shows that the major emitters now have got a deal, and Australia therefore should be moving to, at minimum, its 15%.
Now, you say that that's what should be happening. How do you expect the Abbott government to respond?
Look, I think the Abbott government has been severely embarrassed by this announcement, and no more so than at a time when it's quite clear that the government has been trying to keep climate change off the agenda at the G20. It immediately leaves, I think, the Abbott government with a problem because of the direct action plan that it's proposing is incapable of meeting targets like the ones that we should be aiming for.
In terms of the specifics of the US-China deal, to what extent is it simply the US and Chinese leaders putting numbers on what they're already doing? Because China is likely to have 20% of its energy from renewables in any case, isn't it?
Look, China has been moving very effectively and very quickly to modernise its economy. I think you're right. I think that the figures that have been put out by China probably confirm what we already know about the trajectory that the economy is taking. And indeed, I expect that China will probably peak its emissions before 2030 and therefore will, you know, present itself as having done better than it proclaimed itself as being able to do. In the case of the United States, in fact, what we've seen happen with the 26 to 28% target that's been announced, that's actually lower than what Obama came out with in 2009 as part of the commitment that he made at the Copenhagen conference. I think it's probably a fair reflection, however, of the logjam that he faces with Congress.
What do you make of that comment from the US Republican leader that the deal asks nothing of China for 16 years?
Look, I think that's quite quite unfair. The Chinese have got their own problems. There's certainly a dynamic in the economy. The 11th and 12th five-year plans have built a trajectory for economic modernization and for decarbonization. But it's still not going to be an entirely easy thing for the Chinese to deliver on this. They're going to have a national emissions trading scheme put in place next year, which will help them go down this path. But these things are never straightforward and never entirely certain. I think that's probably a misstatement and quite a malicious one in some ways.
Well, clearly the Republicans are not looking like they're going to support the president on this. Does Barack Obama need to make legislative change to meet these new targets?
Interestingly, the American economy has been decarbonising fairly effectively and over the last the last 5 years since the announcement in 2009 to cut emissions by 17%, so they've dropped by 10% so far, for a number of reasons, partly because America's still suffering the effects of the great global financial crisis. There have been regulatory changes which have been implemented through the EPA, and there's also been a tendency to pick up on gas. The rush to gas which has occurred in the American economy has also helped it move away from coal. These have all happened without legislative change. I think America needs legislative change, however, and it would do much better if it had a national rather than a fragmented emissions trading scheme of the sort that it currently has. To be frank, the targets we're looking at the moment still will not deliver a world in which global warming is limited to 2 degrees.
And that's Associate Professor Peter Christoph from the University of Melbourne's Department of Resource Management and Geography. And you can listen to a longer interview with him online later this afternoon.